These bandanas make it hurt. Welcome to the Breaking Down the Bytes podcast. Interested in the IT field and looking for a way to break in? Are you a college student or looking for a career change? The IT industry is booming and has tons of opportunity. It's vast, complex, and can be overwhelming, but we can help. Come along as we break down some of the barriers as your insider to the tech industry.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this week's edition of Breaking Down the Bytes. As usual, I'm your host, Pat. You can find me on Twitter at Layer8Packet. That's the number 8. Kyle is with me as well. He's on Twitter at Danith256. Alex, you're back for a second show. I can't believe you came back for a second show. You liked the first one so much. And here we are again. So you can also find the show on Twitter at Breaking Bytes Pod. So we're pretty active on Twitter. So come say hello. What's up, fellas? How you doing? Another week.
What's going on?
Excited to build off the momentum of last week's episode.
That's right. Yeah, we do have some good momentum coming to last week's episode, so we're excited to move forward here and get rolling. So we are going to build off of last week, at least a little bit. So last week, we talked about the most in-demand skills for 2023 going forward, and this week, we are talking top certs for 2023. So if you're thinking either you're starting out in the cert game, not sure what avenue you want to go to, or if you need to refresh a cert or want to go in a different direction, these are some of the top certs for 2023. I think we have some good ones here, so we're going to get rolling on some of these. So any opening comments, fellas, on how we kind of came with this list and how we kind of approached it from our network brains angle?
Well, yeah, last episode we talked about the best skills for 2023. So the certs that I'm picking as the top are going to go hand in hand with the skills that we picked. And I guess the other big thing, and I know I mentioned it in the last episode too, is we're not just suggesting you do these certs to be bullets on your resume. They should be as a means to learn something. And so these are great structured learning with syllabus and topics that will legitimately help. So sure, put it on your resume, put it on your LinkedIn, but remember, end goal is to learn something.
That's right. You want to soak it in like the sponge your brain is. It's a big sponge. Get all the knowledge you can. We're going to rock and roll. That means you, Kyle. I expect a cert out of you in 2023.
So much pressure.
So much pressure. I can't take it. No. So I guess, Alex, you want to set this one up? I know you're, like you said, building off of last week. And the one that you're itching to mention here has all the makings of last week's episode of what we talked about skill-wise. So go ahead and kick this one off.
All right. Fair enough. So, yeah, when I made this list, the first thing that came to mind was the Cisco DevNet Associate track. And I really can't think of any other certification. If there's anyone that can think of one, let me know. But any cert that actually covers as many topics that we talked about last week. Just going through the syllabus just before this call, just to double check my understanding of what's on the syllabus. Some of the major topics are automation, but that's broken down into Python, Ansible, 15% is network fundamentals, which was another thing that we talked about. Git, containers, Docker. I think we may have touched on APIs a little bit, but it just goes back to automation. But of what do we list? 10 skills, yes, last week? I forget what it was. So. But either way, we're talking at least half of the topics that were mentioned last week are huge topics on the Cisco DevNet Associate. And for that reason, that's my number one cert for 2023. So I don't know if anyone here has looked at it, has read any books thinking about doing it in 2023. I can tell you, I took at least one course so far. I did buy the book. So it's on my radar for 2023. So I think this will be my first cert in a while. I mean, I've renewed my CCIE a few times, but I don't think I've gotten a new cert in probably 5 or 6 years. So I think this will break that streak.
Wow. I'm like you. I took the plunge and got the Cisco DevNet OCG, the official cert guide, as the cool kids call it.
Yeah.
I bought that a couple months back, and I made it to like chapter 3 and it's full of yellow highlight and all this stuff. And then I just never got back to it. So I definitely have to get back to that. But yeah, I'm kind of like you, Alex. Before this year, all my Cisco stuff expired, right? So I had an NP and two CCNAs and two different tracks, right? Route switch and security. And then I had a CCNP in route switch and they all expired for one reason or another. And it's not from a lack of trying. I couldn't pass another CCNP exam. So that's full disclosure. I'm coming clean on this podcast. I couldn't renew it. So, but no, as of this year, I got two. But before that, it was a good couple of years since I had an actual cert under my belt. I got two this year. I got the Azure Fundamentals, the AZ900. That was just like 2 months ago. And then in January, I passed the Palo Alto, the PCNSA. Now, the Palo will stick with me for, I think it's 2 or 3 years. And the Azure 900 never expires. So I'll be a fundamental Azure guy forever and ever. So it's all good. But no, yeah, I think DevNet is huge. I think that's going to be the monster in the room. I think Cisco's done a nice job with that. Everybody's sort of used to Cisco's path and how they do things with their search structure and things of that nature. And then the DevNet came out and everybody went, whoa, that is a heavy duty one. Like you didn't expect that realm, but like we said last week, network engineers are sort of blending with software engineers. And mm-hmm. Yeah, we were sort of the network as a whole, the industry as a whole was sort of the last to, or one of the last to get on the boat with automation. So I think this was a huge step forward in trying to get more network guys to be more friendlier to automation as a whole in that space. And while I mention that, I want to mention a good podcast for automation. If you're really interested in network automation specifically, check out the Network Automation Nerds podcast, Eric Cho. He is a phenomenal DevNet guy. He's written books. He's network DevOps, network engineer for forever. And he does a podcast, Network Automation Nerds podcast. So he's got a ton of good guests on there. So if you're into the automation side of things, definitely check out his stuff. He's got some really cool stuff. So that is my plug for good friend of the shows, Eric Cho. So it's cool. But yeah, I think DevNet's going to be huge going forward and trying to do that. And I guess I'll take a page out of what I've been doing lately, the day-to-day things. I'm going to go cloud for the second one, I guess. And I would say any sort of cloud cert is probably a safe bet. But the one I'm going to mention is the elephant in the room, if you will. It's the AWS Solutions Architect, the SAA, I guess that's what they call it, the Architect Associate. So yeah, that's a big one. But you could also put in there the Azure AZ-104, which is the Azure equivalent of the AWS Solutions Architect, things of that nature. So yeah, anything cloud, I could definitely kind of plug in there, but I went with the AWS Solutions Architect because AWS has got the biggest share in the cloud. So more people are on it. So, but you for can't sure. go wrong with any cloud cert in this day and age, really.
Yeah. And I know the Solutions Architect, that is AWS's, I think, second in line. So I guess we probably should say that if you want to start with cloud practitioner, that's probably the path you want to take. But cloud is so important right now. It's almost like a twofer. We're really suggesting do the cloud practitioner and then do your solutions architect.
Yep.
Think of them as a duo that you can strive for in 2023.
Yep. Agreed. And Microsoft has their practitioner-esque one as well, which is the AZ900, which I passed this like 2 months ago. They call it Azure Fundamentals. It, like I said, never expires. It'll be with you to forever. So yeah, so that's the twofer on in two of the biggest players in that space. So for sure on the cloud stuff. Kyle, what do you got? You got one?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the one that everybody's been asking me about and talking about, like, to red in the face kind of deal, is Security Plus.
It's look at that.
Really? Just everybody. I mean, even one of the guys that I was talking with today at work, he was like, I'm going for my Security Plus. What do you think? And I'm like, I mean, yeah, that's great. I was like, another one of the guys that I used to work with, he just got it couple months back. CompTIA certification seems to round everything out. Your risk management, if you want to be systems administrator, network administrator, security administrator, kind of deal, like, has some of the basic stuff up into advanced things with wireless penetration testing, stuff like that. It seems to be a lot of the buzz stuff that I've been seeing people get into as well. I mean, obviously cloud is gonna always be there doing its thing, but that'd be the one that I'd kind of shoot for, maybe just because I know everybody that I know is going for it, but it seems like it'd be a good one.
One thing that the Count Tia certs have going for them that it might be the only one on the list that we've thought of so far is it's vendor agnostic. I mean,
that's true.
Obviously, we just talked about Cisco. We just talked about AWS and Azure. So this one is just security fundamentals that are going to apply to any vendor. So a lot more on practices versus just syntax and hardware related questions. So that's definitely a benefit because I was even going to mention, but I didn't want to like say anything negative about the Cisco DevNet. But if there is anything negative I will have to say about the Cisco DevNet, having gone through the syllabus, is 15% of the actual material on it is completely vendor-specific. I mean, really vendor-specific. Things like the Meraki's and NXOS, things that are very specific to Cisco. So 85% of that exam is perfect. 15% of it, it'll benefit you in the right circumstances, but at least with Security Plus, you don't have to worry about that. So how about you, Pat? Is there anything else in the security track that you're thinking of? There's one in my mind, and you actually could have segued into it earlier because I think you mentioned you got the cert.
That's it. I could have. Yeah. So just a real quick plug for the Security Plus stuff. One of our very first episodes on this show was with Pluralsight instructor Christopher Reese, and he has a Security Plus course out there on Pluralsight. So if you're into Security Plus or want to know a little bit more about it, Christopher Reese, Pluralsight.com. I actually took his course. I didn't take the cert, but I took the course, Chris, and it was really well done. He's really easy to understand. He breaks it down quite nicely. So, and he's also a fan of the show. So shout out to Chris if he's listening, and I'll plug his stuff because he's really good. So go check him out on Pluralsight if you're a Security Plus wanderer. So go with that. But to round out Alex's question, yeah, I think we touched about it a little bit last week, but I think Palo Alto and those cert tracks are starting to come together. They don't have as many as Cisco does, obviously. Cisco's sort of the king in that networking space, but I think Palo Alto, just due to how many of them are out there, the gains that they've made over the last couple of years, I think you can't go wrong with that either if you're looking for the network security space specifically for that. So yeah, definitely Palo Alto. Like I said, in January, I passed the PCNSA, so that was awesome. There are a couple more, PCNSE, which is the A is the administrator side, the E is the engineer side. There's a cloud security engineer out there that they have an automation engineer cert. So there's five or six of them in that pocket that Palo does. But the PCNSA is sort of the CCNA level, if you will. There is one previous one. It's an entry-level one, the PCCET. And it's kind of a mouthful, but that would be like the CCENT years ago from the Cisco side. So it's to kind of break in. And then the PCNSA is the middle of the road. And then the PCNSE is the, you know, the engineer CCNP equivalent, right? So there's a couple of them there. Like I said, the cloud is there. The cloud one is there. The automation is there. Things of that nature. So there's a couple of them, but the PCNSA is pretty popular. PCNSE is pretty popular. So, and I see more and more of it out there from the Palo side. So, you know, where I'm at, we're a heavy Cisco shop where I'm at, Firepower and FMC and all that kind of stuff. But Palo has definitely come on in the last couple of years, and everybody I talk to absolutely loves them. Now, they're expensive. I mean, there's no bones about it, and the people will tell you that. But the engineers that actually work with them love them, absolutely love them. They don't have a bad thing to say about them. So I was like, oh, let me see what this is about. And took the course, and the previous job paid for it, and I went and took it. So it's all good there. But yeah, Palo is definitely, they're getting more of the share and more people are using them. So it can't hurt in 2023 for sure.
Yeah. And I mentioned last week when we were talking about Palo Alto, I made the comment that in my last few jobs, we started taking out Cisco's and putting in Palo Alto's. And I was confident that the market share is really shifting towards Palo Alto. One stat that I did look at, and I know we talked about it before the recording here, but in the last 10 years, Palo Alto, when compared to Cisco, went from about a quarter of the market share that Cisco had, so a fourth, to now they actually are above Cisco. So at this point, they have about 15% more of a market share than Cisco does at the beginning of 2022. So in the course of 10 years, from a fourth of what Cisco has to being now the new king of the firewall game.
Yep. Yeah, like I said, I've used them at a couple places and whatnot, and I have a couple play virtual boxes here at the new place, and it does seem to work pretty well, and they're usually pretty friendly as far as from a GUI perspective, and the logging is really nice. There's no big mystery to that, and it's real nice. So yeah, Palo, if you're into that, into the network security stuff, Palo Alto is not a bad look in that direction at all. So that's mine up there. Like I said, people take that with a grain of salt. There's probably others that are a little more deserving, but from a network security space, I think they deserve a mention for sure.
Yeah.
Who wants to take the last one? Or not last one, but the next one, I should say.
The last one of the big ones that we have listed.
Yeah.
And I know we're all biased, right? But it's still the king. I still, maybe AWS is getting close to how many people take it, but is there really anything more synonymous with IT certifications than the CCNA? And maybe not. I don't think it is. But as of today, I still say network fundamentals is going to help you in any IT role you have.
Yep.
Yeah. You don't have to be a network engineer to benefit from knowing how IP addresses work. And for that reason, and then the CCNA, Pat, you mentioned it already, that the CCNA, it's been adapted for the current work that we're seeing. And now they have introductions to automation and topics like that where they didn't used to. So I think people that are going into the CCNA, they might not immediately realize that it isn't just router switches. You do have things that are going to get you that first look into automation and scripting. So yeah, for me, I'm still going to suggest anyone in IT who doesn't already have it, look at the CCNA.
Yeah, I can't argue that. I think CCNA is still the elephant in the room when it comes to IT certs. It's a great starting point. And no matter what you do after that, whether you stay in the network main or you go other places, that network knowledge that you're going to carry and learn helps you in any sort of vein that you end up landing in, right? Security or dev or systems guy. Like, you know, we see it all the time. It's like, you know, developers or any of these guys, and they're developing app, whatever. And then, you know, a lot of them can't tell me what ports they use. And it's just like, well, I got to know what ports they use because I have to open them on a firewall. Right. So you see that a lot. So any sort of network fundamentals that you can take with you that sort of spreads across multiple IT tentacles, I think certainly helps in that space. So yeah, definitely CCNA. I guess I want to get your thoughts on it too, because Kyle, you mentioned something before we hit record, but do you think any of the CompTIA, or I don't want to cheapen them by saying entry level or low level, certs helps folks that are already in the IT field, say, I don't know, say 5 years. So if I'm a help desk guy with 5 years under my belt of doing level one service desk, whatever you want to call it, is the A plus or net plus or anything like that, is that going to help me get to the next level? I don't necessarily know if it does. I think once you're already in, you getting that piece of paper and an A plus isn't, you're not learning anything you don't already know because you have the 5 years under your belt. That's just me. I don't know if anybody's got any other feelings. Kyle, got anything?
Yeah, I would have to agree with you with that, because it's like, I know people like want to grind out certs or get certs to maybe advance, but if you're kind of aiming for a cert that's a little below where you're already at, I don't know if it's going to be that advantageous in like your growth. Like, I've been doing IT, I've been doing troubleshooting and tech support and all that kind of stuff, and now I got my A+. Is that really going to help you grow? Probably not. You probably covered most of those things before you even took the cert. Net plus, though, I mean, that might be a little useful for somebody that isn't super heavy into networking or wants to get their feet wet, kind of move that direction. Might be a good jump. Same thing with security plus, but yeah, like Alex said, though, it's probably good because they're kind of agnostic of any kind of specific brand or hardware vendor. So you get like a nice kind of rounded out knowledge in general that doesn't like use this thing because it's the best.
Yeah, it's interesting. Alex, what do you think about that?
Well, you mentioned 5 years. Maybe that's a little excessive to think that CompTIA A plus would help. And I do, that's another one. The A plus exam has it's evolved as well.
Yep.
It's not the same exam it was 15 years ago. They do cover things that we mentioned before as being top skills that anyone who hasn't taken it recently might not be aware of. So there are some things on Linux on it. They touch on virtualization and cloud concepts.
Okay.
There is some basic networking 101. There are some security 101s. So I wouldn't rule it out. 5 years, again, it might be a little bit much. But anyone who's fresh out of college and still looking for that first job, I mean, I could see pointing them in that direction. I think the audience that we have has probably been in it a little longer than that.
Yep.
So that's my thought. My guess is if you have 3+ years of experience, you should know just about everything that's on the A+ exam.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what I said earlier. Don't take a cert just to have it on your resume. If you're not actually going to gain anything from doing it, don't do it. There's no point.
I would agree with Alex in saying, look, if you got 2-3 years under your belt, it's definitely 5. I don't think that A+ is helping you to the degree that you think it will be. But yeah, if you're a college student or even if you're a mid-level, or I should say career change person, right? So I know a lot of people that, not know a lot of people, but you follow trends in this industry and you figure out who's who. And there's a couple of people on Twitter that follow us and we follow you right back. And we kind of dig in a little bit, just, you know, when your profile and this and that. And I see a lot of like middle-aged folks that are now having IT as a second career, right? So truck drivers or those types of folks and saying, you know what, I'm going to start at something brand new. Like, yeah, the A+ is going to benefit those folks, I think, from a completely new standpoint sort of thing. So that, those are the things I would say. 2-3 years, 5 years in, probably not. But the college kid and the IT as a second life person, definitely, for sure. I think the A+ definitely helps and gets them introduced to, you know, the IT life, if you will. And we've all lived that life. So maybe that's a show idea too. The lifestyle.
And again, going back to what I said about how the exam is evolved a little bit. I think some people still think of A+ as just someone who can build a computer from scratch and install an OS. It is quite a bit more than that. Just think of just entry level topics and high overviews of lots of different things. In addition to what's RAM, what's a hard drive. I mean, there's that too, but there's more to it than just that.
Yep. No, I would agree. Yeah, I was wondering that. Like, I wasn't sure if I was alone in thinking of my train of thought there. I'm glad you guys were on board. I like that. I'm not on an island. All right. The other one I would mention, this is more in the security vein, feel like this is pretty popular nowadays, is the CISM. I don't know how people pronounce it. I'm not quite in the security space, but basically it's the Certified Information Security Manager. But that's more for folks that are a little longer in the tooth, 20-ish year experience designing, managing IT security programs, things of that nature. That's more of a leadership position, really, in risk management and IT disciplines, right? That sort of thing. But that's a popular one, too. That's pretty hot for the list that we've seen and just industry trends and following a couple security-minded folks on Twitter and LinkedIn and that sort of thing. This cert comes up quite a bit, so we figured it would be worth a mention here. Even though it's not our expertise or our kind of avenue, I think it deserves a mention.
Yeah, I think in the security track, too, there's two certs that I used to hear a lot of, and maybe I hear less of it now, so I don't know if that's just because my career's changed a little bit, so they're not quite on my radar, but the Certified Ethical Hacker came up a lot. I don't know if that's still something that people were really into. The CISSP, almost in my eyes, had this, I think it was almost like on a pedestal as like the CCIE. It really seemed like a really big accomplishment and something that people really strive for. Yeah. I don't know if that's still the case. I think at one point you even had to be vouched by an existing CISSP. It was some interesting things you had to do actually to get that. So if any CISSPs that are really adamant about that's the one to get, let us know. I don't hope I'm not offending anyone. I'm just wondering if that's still one that's on people's radars.
That's it. I actually knew a CISSP. Actually, him and I went to high school together. He was 2 years behind me, but then we ended up working at the same company together a couple companies back, and he actually got his CISSP while he worked as a IT auditor for the company that we work for. So he's definitely, he was stoked about that. So I, yeah, that's a big one. But yeah, I would agree with Alex. The CISSP, a couple of years ago, all you heard about was the CISSP. Like, it seemed like everybody was striving for that or trying to climb that mountain. And it was a high mountain, according to my buddy Kevin. Shout out to Kevin if he listens. But yeah, he really went hard at that. And for a couple of years there, there was the CISSP was super, super hot.
Yeah. I guess in that same vein, is there any other certs that you guys are just curious about and have seen once or twice and maybe you're a little bit interested in, but maybe not something you feel comfortable saying it's the go-to cert? So, I mean, we brought up CEH and CISP. I see ITIL come up once in a while also. I don't know if that's something other tech managers or leaders, is that something you still look for? Is there something that's similar, that's even better? Would be interested to know. So is there anything else you guys can think of that you're even have some question marks about?
I would probably say there's two on my list that I've seen that are popular. And I know a few people that have this first one I'm going to mention. It's not technically, it's not in the technical space that you and I are in, but it's more of a supporting role, I should say. But the project management professional, the PMP, I feel like that's a big one. A lot of project managers strive for that. That's kind of their gold star standard. That was, again, a couple of years ago was hot. A lot of people were kind of getting that, but you know, that's over project management and how to juggle people. And that's a whole nother ball of wax and juggling people's personalities and getting projects done on time. Shout out to them. It's like herding cats, right? So shout out to that one. But yeah, PMP was big.
Yeah, I'd be interested. I think that was another one that had some pretty impressive requirements to get something like that. So I think that's also one that you have to do more than just pass an exam. I think there's more to it than that.
Yeah,
but I would be interested in it because one of the skills that we talked about again last week that none of these exams really cover is communication skills. So I'm wondering if the project management professional, I haven't looked at what that all entails, but if you are project manager, I would imagine that it's going to discuss communication to some degree. So if we're going to claim that's the best skill that you can have in 2023, maybe it would make sense to put a certification track on that covers that. And maybe that's something that's also in the ITIL track. And any PMTs or ITIL guys, you let us know if that's covered at all in that.
Yeah, I would agree.
But yeah, it's definitely popular. I just looked it up here. There's over a million PMP certified people. So yeah, that really, that is popular. Wow. And that's as of 2020. So I assume there's even more now.
Yeah, that's wow. That number shocks me.
1,036,368 as of July 31, 2020. So yeah, a lot of people. So yeah, we might have missed one of the more popular shirts in the world.
Missed the boat on that one. Rewind.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, PMP was something that I've heard about. The other one too, and we sort of touched on it last week with our Docker and containerized discussions, but I feel, and I know a few people that have this, the VCP, the VMware Certified Professional, that was hot a few years ago as well. Like, I don't know how hot it is now. I'm sure it still is, but I think I think going forward, the container stuff is really going to, it's going to take a chunk. I don't know how large of a chunk, I guess, is probably my statement there of how that takes in. But the VCP stuff was hot years ago, and a lot of people had it. Yeah. And it's still hot today. I just don't know where that's going to go.
Right. Yeah. And just like VMware came out with the VCP, Docker and Kubernetes, they have their own versions of it. And I was thinking about putting that on the list, too, because of how important I think container technology is, but I did want to stay away from something that was very vendor specific because I guess you can fall into the same boat that the VCP does now. It's losing market share and it's slowly starting to not be as relevant. But yeah, if people, the Cisco DevNet is a track that covers container technologies at a very high level. So I don't know if there's anything else there that would give you a better just preview into container technologies outside of just going straight into the very vendor-specific ones. I mean, at this point, Docker and Kubernetes are so big that I wouldn't fault anyone for looking into those specific ones.
Yep. No, that's a good one. Yeah, I see ITIL as well, kind of floating around there. I don't know. Maybe this is out there. You know what's higher up on this list? Even though it's this is not meant to sound negatively, but it's the smaller of the three cloud providers. The certs are sort of, they hold weight, is some of the Google certs that are out here. The Google Certified Professional Cloud Architect and the Associate Cloud Engineer that Google has. That kind of shocked me because they have a smaller footprint in the market. Azure and AWS are the big boys in the room, and AWS being the biggest boy in the room. I was surprised to see that the GCP stuff showed up so frequently on these lists and steadily across multiple lists that we're kind of plucking from.
Yeah, I think part of that is Google doesn't have an insignificant market share, but I think they even have a less share of certified people. So in other words, say they have 10% of the market, they might only have 2% of people that are actually going through that track. So finding people that are experts in GCP are a lot harder to find than people that are experts at AWS, even though
that's a good point.
AWS, you're probably more likely to find.
No, that's a good point. So, I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
This is a catch-22. You might be able to make more if you find the right job and you have that very specialized skill set, but it's going to be harder to find that job. So I think that's kind of where I am with GCP. They have such a smaller market share than Azure and AWS that I could probably only suggest it if the company you're with right now is using it. And if they are, by all means, go for it.
Right. Yep. No, that's a good point. I'll ask you guys this because I'm not sure. This is for anybody listening, if you're in this track, but what do you guys think of like the big data stuff that's coming? Because I see big data being huge in the next couple of years. I don't know if there's actual like cert for it or anything like that, or if it's agnostic or what that looks like. But I think big data as a buzzword, if you will, for lack of a better term, people that actually crunch numbers and tables and all that big data and make it work for you. You see that? You see that coming? You see that being big? What's that look like, Kyle?
I would say for sure. I mean, that's what everybody wants to collect all the time, right? Is the data is where the money, the data is your analytics and how you can predict everything and do your forecasting and whatnot. So I don't think it's going anywhere. And the more devices you have and logged into and connected to is just more data for somebody to capture and have to parse through to make sense of something. So I don't think data's going anywhere, not for a long time.
Yeah, that's a good point. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I think it'd be tough to find just a big data. I mean, you understand what they're getting. The whole idea is it's analytics. I mean, when you boil it down to it, it just seems like everybody has their own version of big data. I mean, going back to AWS, they have CloudWatch, which is just pulling every data point that you can think of from AWS resources and then making something intelligent out of it.
Right.
Going, hey, you could save yourself X amount of dollars if you did this. Or
yeah,
it's certainly important. And I think what you'll see is networks get bigger, environments get bigger, the amount of data you can collect is going to get more granular and bigger. And all these places are just going to have their own version of what they do with that data. So, as I mentioned, CloudWatch with AWS, I'm sure Azure has something similar. And I don't know if anyone has a huge stranglehold on, I mean, maybe you could say SolarWinds. I don't know who's the other big player. Kentik is getting bigger and bigger. But just the idea of just collecting data and doing something with it. But I think everyone's just kind of making their own in-house version of it because no one's really come up with something that's better than anything else.
Yeah,
it would be nice to have a single pane of glass, but
yeah,
don't know who has the best one.
Yeah, maybe we'll get there one day, but today's not that day.
No,
nah.
Tomorrow doesn't look good either. So.
Yeah, these places, they'll go the Apple route, and then they'll just make everything just unique to them where no one else can digest that information, so you have to use their version of it. Like, I'm sure some of the stats you get from CloudWatch, you couldn't possibly export it to something. And maybe that's what Amazon wants.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. That's an interesting take on that. Yeah, for sure. Any other search you guys can think of, Kyle or Alex?
I'm going to throw it out there because I guess I'm on this CompTIA train right now.
Here we go. All right.
Cloud Plus.
All right.
I didn't know we had a Cloud Plus.
I didn't until just right now. I was looking up, seeing what else they got. So they do cloud architecture design. They're doing security, deployment, operations, and troubleshooting. So there's another one if you want to be vendor agnostic. Maybe you just want to get your feet wet. You don't really know which way you're going to go, or you need good fundamentals before you pick a direction or something like that. Cloud Plus. There it is. There's my pitch.
That's it. I'd be interested to learn more about A Plus, Sec Plus, Net Plus, and Cloud Plus. He's 4 for 4 on the CompTIA.
At your nearest Pearson testing center, right?
That's right. Pearson View for the win. That's
right. Yeah, I'll have to look at that. I mean, wouldn't be surprised if that's just chapter one, AWS, chapter two, Azure, chapter three, GCP. And maybe I could be wrong. Yeah, because I never really thought of the idea of a cloud environment just being comparable across the board. I always kind of thought that AWS is completely unique to Azure. And maybe if I did look back and just kind of stood back and looked at both, I'd realize that they have a lot more similarities than I give them credit for. And maybe if that's the case, then I could see where Cloud Plus would make sense. But yeah, I guess the way I've always thought of it is they're so unique that, can you really have a cloud agnostic certification?
Like, yeah.
Apparently you do. So curious what's in it.
Well, I think you even opened Pat in my eyes back to the A plus because, you know, we're still thinking of it, what it was 15 years ago.
That's right.
And you're like, hardware test. No, it's got some valid stuff in here. And like you're explaining, I'm like, oh man, that is valid. Here I am like pooing on it. And it sounds like it's a pretty good thing.
Oh yeah, on second thought, everybody get the A plus.
Yeah, get the A plus.
Don't listen to Kyle in this podcast. Yeah, right. I'm just gonna mute him in the editing. I'm just gonna take him out. Yeah, I guess there was one more question I had, and maybe this is a little bit of a rabbit hole question, but all this certification talk, and we just went over 40 minutes or so of different certs and what we think is popular and coming down the pipe and all this stuff. I guess it goes back to the age-old question, right? Do certs really make a difference? And I guess the answer is, like everything in IT, is it depends, right? Mm-hmm. So I've worked at places where people think certs are great, and I've worked at places where people think certs aren't worth the paper they're printed on. So there's really a widespread, and I guess it boils down to management and that sort of thing, but there's really a widespread opinion on if certs really do matter or make a difference versus if they're just a cash avenue for a lot of these companies. So I don't know, Kyle, your take on that as far as what you think?
I really think it might have to just come down to the individual. I mean, the content's there as long as it's quality, you know what I mean? And the person digests it well, can regurgitate or use whatever that they learned, then sure. But I've also, I mean, personally, in working in this, have met people that have alphabet soup after their name, different this cert and that cert, and you ask them something, and they're just kind of like, duh, and you're like, well, you passed the test, like, how did you get there? Like, and they just studied for the test, and then, like, couldn't really learn or use the stuff. So I think it might be down to the individual, and I'm sure a lot of the harder certs, people aren't just memorizing the tests and kind of getting through without learning a lot of good, useful skills.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Alex, what do you think? I think I know where you're coming from, but go ahead.
Well, I said it earlier. I know there's people that just get certs so they can put it on a resume and they think that's their way to get a job or a raise. And if that's the attitude you're going to take, then they're worthless. I just think that these exams just break down, generally, they break down what you need to know in a way that makes it, I mean, for the most part, just looking at the Cisco DevNet track. So I'm not really too concerned about getting the certification, but I'm interested in the syllabus. And that's why I even mentioned that there's a big section of it that's Cisco proprietary. And if I may not take the exam, and I may just skip the Cisco proprietary parts of trainings that I see online because it's just not relevant to me. I just want to be able to go through the syllabus when I'm done and say, yep, APIs, JSON, YAML, I know all this stuff, Python, yep, scripting, Cisco, Meraki, nah, don't care. Next. And if people take that approach and they treat the cert as a bonus thing to get, and that can prove what you know, then so be it. But I'll keep saying it. Take certs as a means to learn something and nothing else.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree. I think it does matter company-wise. I think I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I think it matters to a company if they can push that cert to their clients. Like, so for example,
yeah, that's true.
Alex, you and I, we worked at Evolve IP, which was a cloud company early on, but their bread and butter was voice, right? So Alex, you got your CCIE at Evolve and I got my CCMP at Evolve. And I think they do better in tech related industries, right? So then they can turn around and say that that's a sales pitch to a potential client coming in and say, look, we have this many CCIEs. We have this many people on staff with AWS, whatever, or whatever. Now, if you're working at a non-tech company that doesn't sell tech as part of their main bread and butter, then the clients that they're trying to attract, a CCIE means nothing to them because they don't know what it is, right? So I think that is a big driving factor as well. Now, that's not to say go out and work for a huge MSP, right? So they have their drawbacks as well. But I think you have to find the right mix of, okay, everywhere I've been, companies paid for certs. So I've been reimbursed. It does really matter as far as fit, that sort of thing. So I think, like I said, some managers loved them. Some managers didn't think they were worth the paper they were printed on, much for what Kyle said, as far as you have alphabet soup behind your name and you don't know how to, you don't know how to put a static IP address on a Windows machine. So it's one of those things. But I do think environment matters, and you tend to be more respected if your industry is in the tech industry, not just an IT department for a non-tech industry, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. I can see that. I would also say I think certs are a bit more helpful the newer the technology is. So,
yep.
So Docker and containers are so new that I think it really stands out. Someone went through the hassle of actually getting a Docker certification. So right, that really stands out. And the same, I think it also helps more the newer you are to tech in general. I mean, if you don't have 20 years to back up your ability, then just showing that you got a cert or two, that helps. So if you're going for a junior role in X technology and you manage to get a cert in that technology, I mean, it's better than nothing. So I think in those cases, they can be helpful. And if I'm hiring a junior network engineer, it'd probably stand out to me if they got a CCNA. I mean, if they're going to get somebody that has just gone to school and that's all they had, and versus someone who's just gone to school and got a CCNA, that might resonate a little bit more with me. But yeah, someone that's been in the field 30 years and then decides to go out and get their CCNP for the sake of getting a CCNP, it really isn't going to do anything. I'm not going to think too much of it.
No, I agree. So yeah, so just take that for what it's worth in that last couple minute conversation as far as the certifications, because I thought, oh, well, I get the cert out of this and that, and people are going to be knocking at my door and
get the cert, get the bag.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. It didn't actually happen that way. But no, some folks can get really discouraged if they go out and get a cert and then the company is just like, yeah, that's great, but we don't really have any room for you or whatever. And yeah, then, you know, it's time to go. So don't hang your hat on, you get the new cert, you know, it's an accomplishment. Yep. You studied for it. You passed it. Awesome job. And that sort of thing. But don't let it sort of, if your company doesn't see the value in it, don't let that deject you from either hopping to a new place or finding a new role within said company, I guess.
Right.
Well, yeah. And use that knowledge to show its worth. I mean, if you pass the AWS solutions architect and you're using AWS in your environment today and you learned enough to start jumping in the fires when you didn't used to. So use that as your means to move up, not the fact that it's on your resume now.
Yeah, that's it. Yep, that's it. All right, boys. So we're right around that hour mark, maybe just a little shy of it. Any other parting thoughts, questions, comments, concerns? Speak now or forever. Hold your peace.
No, I'm hopeful that this is going to resonate with somebody and maybe they'll get them on a cert track and they'll learn something from it. I'm hoping that in the weeks to come that maybe we can dive down into these skills a little bit more specifically, maybe get a subject matter expert on. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got.
Cool. Kyle, you good?
I mean, I think he sold me on the Cisco DevNet thing and I wasn't even looking at it.
No. There you go.
That's awesome. Nice. Yeah, man. Let's do it. All right, buddy. Thank you for joining this week. We're going to get out of your hair. A little shorter one this week, but that's all right. We're going to get out of your hair, get you back to your day. We appreciate you joining us and taking the time to listen to us ramble on and hope you found some value out of that. If you have another cert that you think is going to be huge or that you're sort of hearing on the waiver wire out there in the big tech world we live in, if you have one, let us know. Drop us a line. Our website is open. It's got a contact box there. You can drop it. It goes right to our email. Twitter, Facebook, we're all over. You can find us. So make sure you visit our website again. It's got everything there. BreakingBytesPod.io. You can subscribe to the show right from there as well. There's a subscribe button to a bunch of platforms. All the big ones, all the small ones, everything. They're all there. iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or if you just need a plane, RSS feed, we are there as well. But that's up there for you. Most of y'all listen from iTunes because that's what our stats tell us. So you're already there. Why don't you leave us a rating? That would be awesome. That messes with the algorithms and the Apple iTunes world. So more eyes, more ears on us. So that's always good as well. Tell a friend, right? That works just as well in the crazy tech world we live in. Follow us on all our socials, right? Twitter, Facebook. The Discord server that we have spun up, the invite is all that stuff is in the show notes. The survey is still out there, so we're always looking for feedback. So survey link is in the show notes there as well. Again, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see everybody next week.
All right. See you.
So long.